Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today on this second Sunday in Advent. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Lord Jesus Christ, with gratitude for all you've done for our salvation, we rejoice to be called Christians. We pray that you would rule in our hearts and send your Holy Spirit to work and dwell within us so that we always conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of our calling as children of God. Give us hearts that look out for others more than ourselves. Help us to love others like you love us. Give us hearts that share the gospel with others and rejoice to see and be a part of the work in your kingdom. Bless all of us in our worship this morning. In your saving name, amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Hark the Glad Sound. Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the middle of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and to call upon him in prayer and praise and to receive his body and blood at the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our own unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our own sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become children of God and gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you. We pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds and hearts. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for today is from the Old Testament book of the prophet Isaiah. We'll read from chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. The book of Isaiah contains many prophecies about the coming Christ. This one in particular has a number of things that we would learn and know about this coming Savior. One is that he would be a great light to not just the Jewish people, but also to the Gentiles. It also mentions that he will be born as a child, and then describes some of his names and some of his attributes. We read then from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for the land that was in anguish. In former times, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will cause it to be glorious, along the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. For those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you like the joy at harvest time, like the celebration when people divide the plunder. For you have shattered the yoke that burdened them. You have broken the bar on their shoulders and the rod of their oppressor, as you did in the day of Midian. Every boot that marched in battle and the garments rolled in blood will be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. The authority to rule will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no limit to his authority and no end the peace he brings. He will rule on David's throne and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from now on into eternity. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. Our second reading for this morning is from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. Glory to you, O Lord. The season of Advent, a word that means coming, points our hearts and minds to not only the coming of Jesus at Christmas, but also, of course, to his second coming. These words of Peter remind us of a few things about Jesus' second coming. One is that it will be at a time when we are not expecting it. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. For the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow to do what he promised, as some consider slowness. Instead, he is patient for your sakes, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a roar, the elements will be dissolved as they burn with great heat, and the earth and what was done on it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be destroyed, what kind of people ought you to be, living in holiness and godliness, as you look forward and hasten the coming of the day of God? That day will cause the heavens to be set on fire and destroyed, and the elements to melt as they burn with great heat. But according to his promise, we look forward to new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, dear friends, as you look forward to these things, make every effort to be found in peace, spotless and blameless in his sight. This is the word of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God by using the words of the Nicene Creed on page 7. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, Come Your Hearts and Voices Raising.
Come your hearts and voices raising.
Congregation may remain seated. At this time, we ask the children of our congregation to come forward for a children's sermon. Go ahead and have a seat right in the front pew. Have a seat. Make room for your brother. Good morning. Thank you for coming up for the children's sermon today. Today in the sermon, we're going to talk about Christmas decorations. And I know that you guys helped decorate the Christmas tree, didn't you, last Sunday? Yeah. And I think you even put on some of the ornaments on the Christmas tree. Did you know that the ornaments on our Christmas tree are more than just pretty decorations? They have meanings to them. All of them do. And I'm going to show you a couple today that remind us of some important things about the life of Jesus. Here's the first one. You see that little scene there with Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and a star above him? This ornament reminds us of Jesus' birth. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. It's a very pretty ornament. Yeah. Well, the ornaments on our Christmas tree not only remind us of Jesus' birth, we also have some that remind us of this. What is this on this ornament? It's a cross. What did Jesus do for us on the cross? Do you know? He died there to take away our sins. Yeah, so Jesus was born a little baby to grow up, live a perfect life for us, and die on that cross. Yeah, and you see a cross in the middle of the Advent wreath as well. It reminds us that Jesus took away our sins on that cross. I have one more ornament to show you. I wish I could remember where I picked these ornaments off of. Let's hope no one gets mad at me for redecorating the tree. Jesus did not stay dead on the cross. He rose again the third day from the dead. That's what we celebrate on Easter. Well, let me show you this very different looking ornament. What's in the middle of that ornament? A butterfly. A butterfly. What does a butterfly mean? And what does it have to do with Jesus and Christmas? Well, did you know the butterfly is a symbol of the resurrection? If you know anything about butterflies, they start as a caterpillar. Very different than a butterfly, aren't they? They move along the ground. They're little. They kind of look more like a worm than a butterfly. But they go into a cocoon, and when they come out, they're a beautiful butterfly. And so the butterfly became a picture of the resurrection. Jesus went into a tomb and came out resurrected, glorious, and alive. Sort of like a caterpillar comes out of a cocoon, a beautiful butterfly. Yeah. So on our Christmas tree, we have reminders about Jesus' birth and the life he lived for us. We have reminders about his death on the cross for us to take away our sins. And we have reminders about his resurrection from the dead that gives us eternal life in heaven with him. You're going to hear more about different Christmas decorations today in our sermon. So you can go ahead and go sit back with your parents and listen to the rest of the sermon. Thank you for coming up. I invite you to please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application for our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of John. We'll read from chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him everything was made, and without him not one thing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as an eyewitness to testify about the light so that everyone would believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The real light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. As you probably observed when you walked into church today, and as I mentioned with the children in the children's sermon, last Sunday we put up our Christmas tree and our Christmas decorations here at church. And as you can see, it looks very beautiful. Thank you to all of you who helped with the decorations. I'm guessing many of you also probably put your Christmas decorations up this past week or last weekend, maybe even got your Christmas tree up. We did both at our house. I think we're done with all the Christmas decorations. The beautiful trees, the warm glow of the lights, and the beautiful decorations are a favorite part of many people's Christmas traditions. But beyond being beautiful and enjoyable to look at, do we always remember or realize that a number of familiar Christmas decorations were actually intended to have a deeper symbolic meaning? To point our hearts and minds toward some important spiritual truth, especially toward Jesus and the salvation he came to bring us at Christmas. So for this second Sunday in Advent, we'll be taking a look at another Christmas tradition, this time the tradition of decorations. And we'll remind ourselves of some of the spiritual meanings behind some of the most familiar Advent and Christmas decorations. We'll start with the Advent wreath, one of the most prominent decorations in our church. It is one of the most prominent and probably the most familiar decoration of the Advent season. It's, of course, the Advent wreath. You see it displayed, not just in the front of our church, but many churches have a Advent wreath displayed during this time of year. Many of you in your homes probably have an Advent wreath as well. The bulletins during this time of year, I usually try to, at least at some point during the Advent and Christmas season, put an explanation of the Advent wreath. What's its symbol? What is the symbolism behind it? And I'll share with you some of what I usually do put in the bulletin at some point during the Advent season. It says this: the Advent wreath is rich in symbolism, and as such it aids our worship as it reinforces our hope in the ultimate coming of our Lord. The wreath is covered with evergreen. Just as this species of tree is always green, so our hope for eternity is always alive because it rests upon the living Christ. The wreath is also in the form of a circle, which has no beginning and no end. What better way to picture that life with our God is everlasting? The lighted candles are symbolic of the light of Christ and His gospel, which alone can lift us out of our sin and spiritual darkness. The four Advent candles remind us of the 4,000 years of waiting for Christ by the Old Testament world. And the three purple candles are the color for repentance. The rose or the pink candle is the candle for joy. Each of the four candles has been assigned a special name with special significance. And if you look up the names and symbols of the Advent candles, you'll probably find at least two for each candle. And I'll share a little bit of the meanings behind the candles with you and kind of touch on both for each candle. Most commonly in the modern era, you'll probably find that the first candle is referred to as the hope candle, reminding us of the hope that we have in Christ. This candle is also referred to as the prophecy candle. The prophets of the Old Testament spoke of the coming of Jesus, how the Savior would be born a king in the line of David. They spoke of what he would be, how he would rule the world, bless all nations, comfort the lost, heal the sick, and of course also suffer for our sins. We, like the Old Testament believers, wait for the Lord's coming in hope, as we hope in Him and His Word, with the sure and certain hope, the joyful expectation of the fulfillment of God's promises. Psalm 130, verses 5 and 7 says, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His Word I do hope. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption." The second candle of Advent, is the candle of peace. And you'll notice we have two candles lit because today is the second Sunday in Advent. So today's candle is the candle of peace, also sometimes called the Bethlehem candle, to remind us of the place where Jesus was born. This prophecy from Micah 5:2 foretold that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, and it may seem like a minor revelation from God, but it actually shows how God prepared even the least and smallest detail for the coming of Christ. Peace is a gift that God gives us through the reconciliation he made made with the world through his only begotten Son, Jesus. That peace is made ours, given to you and me, through faith. The prophet Isaiah called Jesus the Prince of Peace in our reading from today. Through the Apostle Paul, we hear how God made peace possible for us. Romans 5:1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The third candle of Advent stands out because it is the pink or the rose-colored candle. It is the candle of joy. It reminds us of the joy that Mary felt when the angel Gabriel told her that a special child would be born to her, a child who would save and deliver his people. This candle is also referred to sometimes as the shepherd candle. The angels announced to the shepherds that Jesus was born. They went and spread the joy they felt. The angel said this to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." That's Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The shepherds, filled with joy, went to see the Savior, and then they spread that joyous news far and wide. When we light that third candle, the pink candle, and the Advent wreath, we remember that Jesus is the bringer of everlasting joy. God wants us all to have that joy, and the lighting of that candle reminds us then to spread that joy far and wide, just like the shepherds. The fourth candle of Advent is the angel's candle, or the candle of love. Its light is meant to remind us of the love that God has for us. Jesus shows us God's perfect love. Jesus is God's love toward us in human form. 1 John 4 says this, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And we don't have the white candle up yet, but in our Advent wreath, we put a white candle on the altar, but in many Advent wreaths, you'll see a white candle in the center. That candle is called the Christ candle. It's usually lit on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. It signals that Jesus, the light of the world, has been born. And as our text tells us from John chapter 1, the real light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. We'll talk a little bit more about that light later on in our sermon. The second decoration we'll touch on today is the Christmas tree, probably the most familiar of all Christmas decorations. But do we always realize the symbolism behind the Christmas tree? And are you aware of the modern day origins of Christmas trees? Well, if you were to do some research on it, you'd come up with a few conflicting reports, and there is no maybe consensus to where the modern day idea of the Christmas tree with its lights and ornaments comes from. But many people will tell you that its origins actually are attributed to Martin Luther. Most Christmas trees, like we see them today, when we see them showing up in history, were around the time of the Reformation in Germany. Even Wikipedia states, the 16th century origins of the modern Christmas tree are sometimes associated with Protestant Christian reformer Martin Luther, who is said to have first added lighted candles to an evergreen tree.
Luther was many things. He was not a fireman or a fire marshal, so he put candles on the tree to light the tree and make it look pretty and to remind us of the light of Christ. But did you ever wonder why the pine tree or the evergreen trees were chosen as opposed to maybe a maple or an oak tree, for example? You probably know, and it's very similar to the reason why we use an Advent wreath with evergreen. It's the same type of symbol, the eternal life that we have in the living Christ. But did you also know that this symbolism is also found in the Bible? In Hosea 14, verse 8, God compares himself to an evergreen tree. He says this, "O Ephraim," which is one of the tribes of Israel, "what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like an evergreen cypress. From me comes your fruit." Some have even found some symbolism in the triangle shape of the Christmas tree, and maybe that reminds them of the Trinity. When we think of a tree, however, we also think of another very important reason Jesus was born at Christmas. He was born to die on the tree of the cross, to save us from our sins. In fact, I've known people and known of churches where if they have a live Christmas tree, when it's time to throw it out and put it away, they will trim it down to the shape of a cross and leave it up for one more Sunday or leave it up in their house for one more day before they throw the tree out to remind them of the reason for Christmas. Jesus came to this earth literally to die on the cross. Referring to the tree of the cross, the Bible tells us, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" Finally, we come to the third decoration we will look at today, and that is the lights. Would you agree with me? Lights are probably the best part of Christmas decorations. I was struggling with which one's the best. Is it the Christmas tree? Is it the wreath? Is it the lights? But then I thought, people don't line up usually to see unlit wreaths and unlit Christmas trees, but they go to see lights. Light displays are popular and they are everywhere. One of my favorite things to do during the Christmas season is just to sit in the living room and bask in the glow of the warm lights of the Christmas tree. Well, the symbolism there is obvious. It's been mentioned a couple of times already in our service today. Isaiah mentioned it in our sermon text. John mentions it in our scripture reading. John mentions it in our sermon text multiple times. The lights of Christmas are meant to remind us of the great light that came to shine in this dark world of sin and unbelief. In him, in Jesus, John tells us in our text, was life. And that life was the light of mankind. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The real light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. So when you see decorations here in church, in your home, and about town this Christmas season, let's not just think, "Oh, how beautiful." Let's be reminded of the evergreen of God's everlasting love for us and the everlasting life he's given us in sending his son Jesus. When we see the beautiful Christmas trees, let's not forget that the reason Jesus came to this earth, the reason we can truly celebrate his birth, is because of his death on the tree of the cross, where he paid for all of our sins. And when we see those beautiful Christmas lights, let's think of Jesus, the light of the world, the light of life. And let's be like John the Baptist, which our text mentions, came as a witness to testify about the light so that everyone would believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. Live in that light of Jesus. Reflect his light in your life and share that life-giving light with others. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We continue with our prayers for today. In our prayers, we will be thanking the Lord for the wonderful rain that He gave us yesterday and pray that He continues to bring us more in the coming weeks. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O loving God, we thank You for the hope, the peace, and the joy You bring us. We thank You for Your gift of love shown to us perfectly in Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us prepare our hearts to receive Him. Bless our worship in this Advent and Christmas season. Help us to hear and do Your word. Dear Jesus, we also bring You thanks and praise for the rain that You gave us yesterday. We pray that that rain would nourish our area and all the plants and trees that need the rain so desperately. And Lord, we ask that You continue to bring us rain during the rainy season. Through the Holy Spirit, grant us Your grace that we never fall from our faith, fail to worship You, nor tire of serving You with loving obedience. Strengthen our ability to resist sin. Lead us continually into Your word, giving us a desire to hear it preached, as well as a love for reading it and studying it in our homes. Impress the truths of Your word upon our minds and hearts. Give us also a hunger and thirst for the Lord's Supper, and cause us to receive the sacrament in faith as a gracious seal of divine forgiveness. Remind us mightily that our sins were washed away through the water and word of baptism for our daily comfort and encouragement. Fill us continually with thoughts of heaven. Precious Lord, our sinful flesh daily leads us into all manner of sin and evil lust. Forgive us and grant us victory over all temptation. We praise You, our God, forever and ever, both You with You and the Father and the Holy Spirit. In Your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our next hymn is found in your TAN worship supplements. I invite you to open those up to hymn 702. We'll sing the hymn, As Angels Joyed with One Accord. Please rise. We continue on the top of page 10 in your bulletin with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. We give you thanks, O Lord our God, for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. In his name we pray, as we join now in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, we took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. Amen. You may be seated. For the Lord's Supper, we invite community members of our congregation to partake of the Lord's Supper, either by doing so first in their pew or coming forward to receive it at the altar. I invite those of you who would like to take the Lord's Supper at your pew to take out your communion packet. We begin with the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Now those who would like to partake at the altar, please come forward at the direction of our usher. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. May this body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true Christian faith until life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
I invite you to please rise. We'll continue with the singing of the Nunc Dimittis on the top of page 13. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Please be seated. We close our service today with our last hymn, Now Sing We Now Rejoice. I invite you to stand for the last verse.
Now sing we now rejoice.
You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. A few announcements following our service today. Those who would like to join us for our choir pieces during the Christmas season are invited to come to the front of the church after the service and have choir practice. And then following that, the children's Christmas Eve practice will take place here in the sanctuary at 11:30. I have worship service in Hayward today at 1 p.m. and Bible class to follow at 2. This week on Wednesday, our church council and elders will be meeting at 7:15 via Zoom. Again, that's Wednesday night, 7:15. Next Sunday, there is no Bible class next Sunday, just the worship service at 10. Choir and children's practice will follow. The reason being, our next Southern California worship service will be held next Sunday at 6:30. That will be held at the Hamblin's residence in Huntington Beach. Directions will be sent out to those in Southern California to their house. Thank you to all of you who helped to decorate the Christmas decorations in the sanctuary and put up the Christmas tree. Very much appreciated. They're very beautiful. I bet you didn't know that the sermon was going to talk so much about the decorations you put up, but I'm sure glad you did decorate the church this Sunday. It helped to give me some content for the sermon. In the bulletin also, there's a health update from Pastor Mike Eichsted, the president of our church body. Please continue to pray for him as he's going through some health difficulties and has a procedure planned to help with his heart. Any other announcements for today? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.